Blackhawks Live.
It always helps when you win.
Let's go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live. Let's pull back the curtain, go behind the scenes of your favorite hockey team.
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Here's Chris Bowden and Nick Gismondi.
Let's drop the puck on this thing another better late than never week as the Blackhawks were in action last night in Nashville. So this week's show comes to you on a Tuesday. We will be back finally to a Monday coming up next week. At least that's what we believe. Rockford IceHogs head coach Derek King will be joining us shortly. We'll also be joined by Hockey Hall of Famer and former Blackhawk Michelle Goulet. But let's say hello to the real star of the show.
Yeah, right.
Nick Gismondi. Nick, Chicago felt so sorry for Denver weather that it decided to snow a little bit here today. So I hope that makes you feel a little bit better.
Well, if it makes you guys feel any better, we got like 4 inches last night, too. So I'm just staring longingly.
How are you going to golf in that?
I know.
The orange balls, the lime balls, you know, you have to pull those out of the bag.
I'm going to go to Florida or something. I don't
yeah,
know.
That's a good idea for all of us. Well, since we last talked here on the show, a split in Detroit, and then last night's 5-2 loss in Nashville. And, you know, the score certainly doesn't reflect it, but the Hawks did a lot of things that they wanted to this time against the Preds that they've had difficulty doing in the previous five meetings. But, you know, some bad breaks, a couple mistakes versus an opportunistic team that kind of has your number, and that's what decided it in the end yesterday. You know, four goals in the span of a total of about 2 minutes there. And you know, I'm thinking, Nick, if they can just extend those stretches, those good stretches in the offensive zone a little bit further tomorrow night as they play the first of two here at the United Center, and you know, keep committing to the things that you know may quite honestly be uncomfortable for some of the players on this team, I think they'll stand a much better chance of coming away with a victory, finally a victory against Nashville tomorrow night, because Lord knows they need it.
Well, that's the best that they've played against Nashville. You and I were talking about that, I think, so far this season. And listen, there's an adjustment to their game that they have to make. And Jeremy Calton talked about it yesterday in pregame skate availability, and so did Alex DeBrincat. And I talked about it last night on NHL Network. And it's that, listen, the Blackhawks, when they're super successful, are a really good team in transition. Well, you can't really transition too well, at least through neutral ice, with Nashville, because they jam it up. They play a 1-3-1. It's man-on-man defense. They're deer pinching when they're moving up offensively. So you're all jammed up on these guys, and the game there for the Chicago Blackhawks is you're going to have to get a little grittier. You got to get pucks behind them, and then you got to beat them to those pucks. And then the goals you're going to score are going to be those gritty goals. It's not going to be two-on-ones. It's not going to be three-on-twos. And I think that last night we saw some good gritty goals, and we saw, you know, Alex DeBrincat go into the areas that, you know, you're going to get banged up a little bit. You're gonna pay the price if you camping out in front of the net looking for that quote-unquote garbage goal or gritty goal. And they had stretches and moments of that, and I thought that they played well yesterday. I think that you're right, though. The margin for error against this Nashville team is very, very slim, and if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And unfortunately, we saw that. So I agree completely with you. If they can clean that up a little bit here and there, they got a good chance. And yes, they definitely need the points. We knew that this three-game set was going to be important. And I don't know as though it's season-determining, because anything can happen with 10 games left in the year or whatnot. But you definitely need points, and ideally you pick up four of them over the next two games.
Yeah, it is all about that area between, you know, behind the goal line up until the top of the circles when you play this Nashville team that knows how to play it. They've been doing it for a while, and the Blackhawks are discovering what they can and can't do, or what they aren't capable of, or what they need to grow their game for. So I think that's really the difference between these two teams in this season series thus far. Unfortunately, it's been Nashville that's jumped up and grabbed that fourth spot for now, as they have been red hot since the midpoint of March. We're going to take our first break. But when we come back, we will hear from the head coach of the Rockford IceHogs, get a checkup on how things are going up I-90 with the Blackhawks' top minor league affiliate. That's straight ahead when Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDrive.com, continues. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. It's all on 720 WGN.
It's free in the Rockford IceHogs left wing. They send in Mackenzie Entwistle, who's got some room. Entwistle fires, scores! Turns on the Jets' left side and dances around Beck Warren. The IceHogs open up the scoring for the third consecutive game. It's 1-0, 7 minutes in.
It's the voice of the IceHogs, Joey Z. Joey Zachewski, as that was one of the descriptions, the fine descriptions he had in a recent Ice Hogs game. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive what Kane and Taves drive. Chris Bowden alongside Nick Ismonte. We are now pleased to be joined by the third-year head coach of the Ice Hogs, who also was an assistant for 2 years prior to that after a 14-year NHL playing career. Derek King, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here. We know we're not taking probably not taking away from scouting reports because you play the Wolves for the ninth time tomorrow in Hoffman Estates.
Yeah. I think we should know what they do, and I'm sure they know what we're going to do. But, yeah, whether it's the COVID or regular season, we're usually a dozen, 12 times a year. So it gets a little bit rivalry going, so it's good.
I would say so, and that's a rivalry. That's a rivalry to begin with. You know, with this unique season, every affiliate has certainly been challenged by just constant personnel shuttles because of the taxi squads, and how challenging has that scenario been? Just, you know, for your sake, for continuity and players learning to adjust to teammates and systems. I imagine coaches learning to adjust to who you got on board with your roster every night.
Yeah, it's not easy. It's a challenge, but it's you know, with myself and Andre Sorensen, it's we've managed it well. I think the biggest hurdle is you have your practice getting ready for a weekend, couple games. You got your power play ready. You've worked on it, and then all of a sudden, you get the phone call that they're sending five guys down. They want them to play on the weekend. So, you love having those guys. Obviously, they always make our team a little better. But you feel bad for telling those five guys ahead on the ice for the power play that, okay, you guys are not on the power play anymore. So you're going to have to sit and wait your turn. But, you know, I try to be open with these guys. I let them know where they stand, let them know how things are going, whether it's up top, guys are coming down, or if you're going to be playing or not. I don't beat around the bush, so the communication part's been real good for us.
Coach, it's obviously a weird year, and I don't think anybody likes this year. But if you're, I'm a positive guy. I don't know if you picked up on that, but if you're looking at the positives here, what the bonus is having the guys back and forth, and maybe a little bit more experience per se than maybe a normal year. Yeah,
yeah, and I think it's great that these kids get a chance with the big club, the Entwistles getting a game, Reese Johnson getting a game, and all of a sudden Hagel, Kurashev, those guys stay up there, and then never mind the D that are up there getting some NHL hockey. In a perfect world, if the season was going as usual, maybe those guys don't get that opportunity. So I think they've taken full advantage of it, and they've been looking real good up there.
I'm sure you need to be on the same page schematically with what the big club, you know, wants to do in order to shorten that, you know, adjustment curve for players, and knowing your reputation and knowing Jeremy's desire for that relentlessness and that tenacity to kind of be the baseline for his teams. How consistent is that philosophy, and how thorough is that communication when you get a player to come down looking for a little bit more work on what to focus on when he does come back from Chicago?
Yeah, it's been flawless. I think, you know, the nice thing was I got to work with Jeremy for that 1 year, year and a little bit. And when he went up, people were asking me, are you going to change anything? And I was like, no, there's nothing to change. Everything is running smooth here. His systems, everything he wants from players, it's really good. It's a nice way to play the game. And we just rolled it right into our, when we took over, we just kept everything the same. We have talks with Jeremy, maybe if they tweak their forecheck or they're doing this or doing that, and then we'll tweak it too. So all our guys are on the same page as what's going up there. Hey, maybe your power play is a little different, and maybe you kill a little bit different, but it's not drastic. A lot of it is D-zone coverage and, you know, your forecheck. So it's been great.
Yeah, Coach, kind of going off of that, I mean, what is the communication like between you and Jeremy? Knowing what I know about Jeremy and all the guys that know him, he is a very good communicator, and he is a positive guy. Is it regular talks? Is it daily talks? Like, how often are you two kind of back and forth with each other?
It just depends on the schedule. We're usually like once a week, or if some guys are coming down to play, we'll communicate on, you know, what was the message you gave those guys when they came down. You know, maybe it's, I want you working on a certain thing of aspect of your game. So I make sure I'm on the same page as what. There's no point of Jeremy telling the kid one thing, and then he comes down and I'm telling him the total opposite. So we try to communicate as much as we can.
Well, I would imagine when these kids, especially the ones who are getting their first taste of NHL action, you send them off. It's almost like graduation day, and then sometimes they're coming back. But I imagine they got a big smile on their face, and they're antsy to get back in there. And that just is just like a little carrot in front of them. I want to ask you about a couple individuals in particular. Evan Barrett has yet to get that call after just a real solid collegiate career over at Penn State. This is his first professional season. How would you describe how things have progressed for him so far this year?
Well, I think he's done a fabulous job. He's a great kid. He's a character kid. He plays with a little jam. He's got real good hockey sense. I think the big thing with him is just pace of game. Obviously, he's not the quickest skater out there, but he's strong on his skates. He's a smart player. Eventually, like, this is a perfect season for him. He's playing lots. We're doing a lot of skill work and skating work with Kevin Delaney. Our development guys, they're in here right now working with these guys. So it's been great for him. And, you'd love to see him go up and see where he's at from the start of the year till now. Maybe he gets an NHL game, but it's not going to hurt him to stay with us for another year.
How about some guys, Coach, that maybe, you know, Blackhawks fans can start to get excited about that maybe aren't getting a ton of publicity right now, but that are in the wings? You know, I've seen Josiah Slavin play for quite some time out in Colorado.
Yeah.
When he was playing his juniors with the Thunderbirds. And I know Brandon Peary very well, and I know fans are familiar with him with his ups and downs. But is there anybody on the roster that people can kind of maybe get a little bit excited about?
Well, I think you nailed it with Slaves. He's come in, and I watched some video on him before he got here, just a little pre-scout on him, and I was like, okay, let's see if he can bring what he does at college level to the AHL level, and he did. He looks real good out there, and he's only going to get better with all the skill work we've been doing. I think, you know, Peary's Peary, but I think the big thing with us, I think this year, we got a real abundance of good young D, big kids that can skate. Obviously, it's not an easy position. I think forwards kind of mature a little quicker than D, so it's going to take them another year or two before they're ready to go. Who knows? Maybe they do get that one game or two games, what have you. But Isaac Phillips, Krudel, Moberg, guys like that were just, you know, big kids that can skate it, and the upside to them is it's endless. So. Hopefully we don't screw it up and we do our job right, and they'll do good.
I don't think you have to worry about that. Those names you just mentioned all coming out of that 2020 Blackhawks draft class, so that's something to be excited about. You mentioned some of the young kids. I want to talk about the old guy. Is Cody Franson kind of almost like an assistant coach on the ice there? And how much of an asset is he to have, especially with these young defensemen, some of whom have seen NHL action, some of them are scratching and clawing to finally get it, as they've kind of, you know, a handful of them have kind of taken the shuttle back and forth. And I'm sure he's kind of in a unique position where he probably would love to get back to the NHL, but he knows what his role is there. How has he handled this season for you?
He's been great. He's fabulous. You know, I had him in Toronto. I got to know him when I was coaching with the Marlies and he was with the Leafs, so I got to know him a little bit there. And then obviously he was here when Jeremy took over. But he's been great. He works with the young kids. I'm not going to toot his horn too much because then he's going to want my job coming down the road here. But he does a good job. He's a real good mentor for these young guys. I mean, he's a pro. The way he carries himself, the way he looks after himself. And, you know, hey, he's a little older now. Maybe the boots aren't the same as they used to be, but he's a smart hockey player, and he's got a power play slap shot. So we're lucky to have him.
Coach, last guy I'll ask you about, again, I'm going back to the Colorado Thunderbirds there, the AAA program that Cale Morris played for. But what's the upside with him? Where is he at? I know he's a Notre Dame product as well, but what do we know about Cale, and where does he sort of fit in the plans?
Well, Cale's, you know, you never know with goalies. They're a little different breed.
Oh, come on. You're a goalie expert. You've told us that before.
No, not at all. I stay away from them. But Pete Aubrey does a great job with these kids. And he works them real hard and really breaks down the game for them. But Cale's been a surprise. He looked good up at the Hawks' little training camp we had there before our season started. And he's got so much poise for a first-year player. Like, there's no panic in his game. Even Ivan, who played the last game there, same thing. They're both just relaxed and calm in the pipes. You know, I'd be shaking every time Guy tees one up or something like that. But, no, Kale's done a great job. Obviously, we only have the two goalies right now, so we'll just rotate them in and out. One play a game, the other one backs up, and then we'll just keep switching it. And they'll get five games each at the end of the year here, and we'll go from there. But tremendous, tremendous upside with these guys.
Well, Coach, I know it was a rocky start on the season. I think you started out something like 1-7-1, but since then you're above 500, 7-6, I think, since then. So great job in turning things around. I'm sure it was, you know, some frustrating circumstances that every team is facing right now. But congratulations on that. We really appreciate you jumping on. Hope we can do it again sometime. And go get them. Who's that you're playing again tomorrow night? Oh yeah!
Not the Wolves again.
It's the Wolves again.
Exactly.
Right. Number nine,
Derek.
That's how we do.
Derek,
thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And go get him tomorrow night. Derek King, the head coach of the Rockford IceHogs, joining us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves. Drive. Always a great visit with him. Coming up after a break with the news with David Jennings, Nick and I will be joined by a Hockey Hall of Famer, former Blackhawk, the one and only Michel Goulet. That's straight ahead on 720 WGN.
Here comes Chelios again, pinching in. Chelios stopped in the corner. The referee, Andy Van Hellman, in a big traffic jam. He was knocked down and had to squirm out. In front of the net, a shot score! The shot by Goulet. A giveaway right in front of the net. And he hit the lower left-hand corner. 2-0, Chicago.
Has it been 29 years since the 1992 Stanley Cup Final, where the Blackhawks are taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins, and our next guest bagging that goal right there in Game 1, played four-plus seasons of his Hall of Fame career with the Blackhawks after a tremendous run in Quebec with the Nordiques, including a seven-year stretch. In a seven-year stretch in which he averaged more than 51 goals per season. And, again, part of that Hawks 92 Stanley Cup Final team. We welcome in the Hockey Hall of Famer, Michel Goulet. Michel, Chris Bowden, along with your buddy Nick. I just, first of all, want to thank you for picking up the phone when Nick decided to call you a little bit earlier today.
No problem. Nick and Chris, a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure for us, to have you on here. You know, and as you know, you reflect back, what was that emotional roller coaster like, you know, in the spring of 1990, after almost 11 tremendous seasons playing for your hometown province team there, and all of a sudden you become a Chicago Blackhawk? I imagine that had to be an emotional experience for you.
That was. I had 11 great years in Quebec, but the team was rebuilding and all that, and I knew they want to move and give me a chance to go somewhere where I can maybe win or go with a good team. And I was so happy and to go to Chicago. I knew they were, and they kept an eye on me for a long time. But I knew, you know, joining Mike Keenan there and Burford and all those people, I was really happy to be trade there and maybe have a chance to win the Cup.
Goose, so many cool things that you've done in your career. People speak of you so affectionately. Your jersey hangs 1,152 points. Is there a moment that maybe stands out a little bigger and brighter than something else?
Well, I mean, obviously you have different kind of moment that you really like. But I had that one game in Montreal where I scored four goals. You know, that was really one of those games, like everything started in the wrong foot. It was 3-0 after 10 minutes for Montreal, and we ended up winning 8-6, I think, that game, and I had four goals, and that was an amazing time. But, I mean, I have had the time with Canada Cup, playing with Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky on the same line. That was an amazing time, too. So, you know, over a 16-year career, you have so many good times and not too many bad times, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, hey, coming back against Montreal, the Canadian fans, I'm sure, were just fine with that, going up against the Nordiques. I'm sure they were just fine with you leading the comeback at 4 goals for a game in Montreal. How about your time with the Hawks? What in particular stands out? I know for a good run of that, you were on a line with JR and Steve Larmer as well. And I'll let you answer that first, and then I'll ask you about Troy Murray, my fellow broadcaster here, about your time with him.
I have a chance with Mike Keenan. I think we had a connection right away. I know Mike is a kind of a different coach than any other coach I had, but the fact that he put myself with Stevie Larmer and Jeremy Roenick, probably one of the two best players I played with. I mean, obviously I played with some good players in my career, but as a line, that was an amazing line. I thought we were, connecting very well, and obviously we end up in the final in the Stanley Cup, and we came short that, but that was such an amazing time just to have a chance to play with those two great hockey players.
A lot in Chicago right now is talking about remembering the roar at the old Chicago Stadium. I never had the privilege of being in there, but you played some games in that barn. What were some of the highlights of that place? And just can you put into perspective just how loud it was in those walls, those stained walls?
That was an amazing place, obviously. And we talk about the best moment of your career. I mean, I forgot that I scored my 500 goals in the old Chicago Stadium, and I was like against the Calgary Flames, and it was just an amazing time. It's just like it was so exciting just to be there at that game, and the people there, and how loud it was, and it was so much. The fans were just an amazing, how loud they were, and supporting they were the team, and it was such a great time for all the players. It was just a the old Chicago Stadium, it was just an amazing time for me.
Well, it's unfortunate you didn't get to spend several more years with the Blackhawks, because I know when you suffered that concussion in 1994, it just took the rest of your career away. Did you have a sense of how much longer you could or how much longer you wanted to play, because you were still very, very productive at that point?
No question. I would love to play in few more years, that's for sure. But as a hockey player, sometimes you never know what could happen, and some people have a chance to play many years, and others have a chance, they can't play more than 2 or 3 more 3 years. So in my case, I was such a freak accident, from there there was a really hard to come back, but I was so happy just to have the career I had. And And you look at Patrick Marleau, who just beat Gordie Howe's record. It's just an amazing time. But when you see what the game was at and all that, I think you're going to see more and more players playing a longer time, because it's more about speed. It's more a bit less physicality, and so I think that the career of the players will be a little bit better and longer.
Goo, you're obviously, you've scouted a little bit, you're still involved, you still watch a lot of hockey. I know we talk a lot of hockey, but what's your view on the league this year? What's your view on where the Hawks are at in this final push, and just sort of the Goulet professional opinion on this season as it comes down the home stretch?
Well, I mean, it's totally different kind of year this year. I mean, when you ask a team to play, let's say, 10 games in 17 nights, it's kind of a difficult. There's no question that it's really demanding. But when you look at the Hawks and their division, it's one of the best divisions, there's no question, in the league. So what they've been doing so far has been really tremendous. I think the coach and the organization did a really great job. What they do with the Hawks, and obviously they got some good players and good young players. So it's going to be interesting, but I think your pick could be as good as mine. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup? I mean, we all know on this side, you always the Avalanche having a very good team. You have Vegas that's been really good. So it's been really, really interesting year. Totally different because of the speed of the game and the speed of the season. So many games every night. So it's very interesting. But there's no question that you have Carolina, Florida, Tampa Bay, you know, that division, Nashville, Dallas, and Chicago, they're a very good team. So we'll see how things go, but it's going to be a very good playoff. Like I always, every playoff season is good.
Yeah, they're all good. This is the greatest playoff in all of sports. Hey, you mentioned a moment ago about Patrick Marleau breaking Gordie Howe's record. At the beginning of your year, you had the opportunity to play against Gordie. One year at WHA and then 1 year back in the NHL from, you know, the New England Whalers or the Hartford Whalers where you switched. What do you remember about playing against him, and was there any, was there any intimidation factor playing against him?
Oh, my Lord. I got the best story ever.
Okay. We're ready.
Go ahead. Because Gordie and we're in Birmingham. The Bulls, we were the baby Bulls back then, and obviously we're playing against the team, and Gordie is right there, and we're just kicking their ass, really. We're just kicking their butt. It was like a no contest. And all of a sudden, I score, and Marty Howe just crushing my teammate. I say, hey, what's going on? He said, you want to go? I say, sure. And I had a pretty good fight. And all of a sudden, you know, I go serve my 5 minutes, come back. And I see Gordy look at me. I'm like, hey, yeah, yeah. You know, in your mind, you say, something's going to happen. I'm watching the puck dropping, and all of a sudden I am on the ice. I'm like, oh, don't touch my son. I'm like, okay. I said, okay. Oh, my God. But, you know, that's Gordie Howe for you. And, you know, at the end, he's just a tremendous hockey player. And, you know, you can see the difference about, you know, playing hockey all those years and, you know, and playing that long. That's just an amazing players, that's for sure.
Hey, before I let Nick have the last word, you didn't say anything about Troy Murray. I asked you about Troy Murray here. I got to get your scouting report on Troy Murray as a teammate, Lord. As a Troy buddy Murray. Too.
Hey, well, Troy Murray had a pretty good career, no question. Troy, obviously, he had that 1 year. What did he have? 99 points.
Yeah,
that
Selke.
1 year.
Yeah. Right, Selke.
Yeah, it was like a wow. And you know, I think with Troy, I know I was the player personnel here, and I pushed really hard for him to come and join us here, and he won the cup with the Avalanche, and I think he was really a player you can count every night, and you know exactly what you're going to have, and you know he had a pretty good career, and even better after career, he's doing really well, so it's kind of nice.
Yep, I'm hopping on his shoulders every night here as the pre and post, so I'm sure he's writing you thank you notes every day for bringing him to Colorado to win a cup. Nick, you got anything to wrap up with your buddy here?
You know what? I'll tell you something right now. Goo is the coolest guys in the world still to this day, and I'm lucky enough that I get to have lunch with him and my other good buddy Eric Lacroix every couple weeks in Colorado, and the stories are amazing. And I think, Goo, I told Bodes earlier, I'm going to write a book one day, and the title of that book's going to be How the Hell Did I Get Here? And every time I get to sit and hang out with you guys and hear the stories of the old days, it's pretty awesome. So lunch is on me next time.
You know, it's fun. Maybe Eric's got better stories than me.
Yeah. Not a chance, that's buddy. Awesome. Lunch is on welcome. Me next time.
Hey, thanks for sharing some of your stories with us. We really appreciate you coming on for a couple of minutes, and Chicago remembers you fondly. So it was a good if too short run here with the Blackhawks, and again, we really appreciate the time. Be well.
No problem. You guys have a great night.
Thanks. Hockey Hall of Famer Michel Goulet joining us here on Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Taves and Kane Drive. Great story there about Gordie Howe, his introduction to Mr. Hockey. Time for a break here, and Nick and I with some more thoughts on the Blackhawks here moving forward this week. That's all next on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Drive with Kane and Taves Drive. Chris Bowden and Nick Ismani for a couple more minutes with you as the Blackhawks with a breather today. They were totally dark, kept the players off the ice, no meetings, no nothing to try and get a little mental reset here. And as a result, that's the reason we did not have a player on tonight, but more than pleased to be joined, as always, by Rockford Ice Hawks head coach Derek King. And as you just heard from the Hockey Hall of Famer, Michel Goulet. But as the Hawks get back to business here tomorrow night and Friday against Nashville, again, pretty much must wins for the Blackhawks, and they have to find a way to win against the Nashville Predators because they certainly haven't done that so far. But as you and I were discussing at the top of the show, certainly some steps taken in the right direction. They got jumped up and bitten on the backside by some mistakes, a couple of bad breaks. That's not the only cause for them falling 5-2 last night. But again, if they can expand upon some of the good things that they did that we hadn't seen in previous meetings with Nashville and adapt their game, as we were discussing, I think that gives them a much better chance to win against a team that is just rolling on all cylinders when they're not facing the Carolina Hurricanes, that is.
Yeah, I think, you know, something for me is the adaptability of a hockey team and their ability to ebb and flow based on a circumstance and a situation, and in this case, a team. And I think that that's something maybe in the last year that these guys have shown to me that they're doing very well. I think that, you know, Jeremy's a cerebral guy. He's constantly making adjustments. He's got a great staff. His communication with Stan is very good. So for them to be able to make adjustments almost even on the fly and adapt to a team and the way that that team plays and get some results from it is encouraging to me. And I think that that's one of the biggest positives I took away from that game last night, that they made those changes that Jeremy had talked about in the morning skate availability and they applied them. Yeah, some mistakes, as I said at the beginning of the show, cost them, but if you can refine that a little bit and keep refining it and keep tweaking that and keep making that happen, then good things are going to happen. And I think that a lot of that credit does go to Jeremy, but it also goes to that room. The room is listening, and the room is buying in, and the room trusts the process, and the room trusts the coach and each other. And as a result, you know, you're getting those changes. Okay, we can't transition the way we've been transitioning. We got to get a little grittier. We got to chip pucks in tonight. We got to play more, a little tougher on the half wall. And if you can do things like that, good things happen. And maybe tomorrow they can take that next step.
Yeah, and I really felt for Kevin Lankinen the other night, because on a couple of those breakdowns, he came up with some big saves as well. And I think Jeremy, for the first time in his Blackhawks career, had to make that move, wanting to save his timeout and put Malcolm in the net. And Malcolm certainly responded very well. Be an interesting call here tomorrow with what he decides to do, but I don't think you can pin too much of that. Maybe the Ekholm goal, no, where he had a good look on it, but beyond that, I think Lankinen was solid once again.
Yeah, I like our goaltending right now. I really do. And by the way, you know, we didn't really get to talk about it too much because the focus has been on Nashville. But Malcolm's shutout the other night was a perfect display of what he's capable of and his athleticism and his drive. And, you know, he hasn't gotten too many starts. And for him to be able to come in and play that well and have that confidence and put up a good number like that, it's impressive. So, you know, soft spot for Malcolm. We were together in Vegas, as you guys all know. So I love seeing him do well. And it was cool to see Sub-Zero put up the zero.
Yep. By the way, on the scoreboard tonight, the other Central teams are in action tonight. Usually, they're all in action on the same night for the most part. Dallas, though, on top of Detroit, 2-0 in the first period. In the other games, Florida, after 2, leading Columbus by a score of 5-1. And let me see if I can crawl this Carolina score against Tampa Bay. Anyway, Tampa Bay, which won last night in extra time, they're in action tonight. I'm trying to call that score up right now so we can at least have a little bit of an update before we break. And
yeah,
as I scroll down, it's 3-1 in favor of the Hurricanes in Tampa Bay tonight at the end of 2. Good to talk to you again, buddy. We'll be back on schedule Monday night next week. So look forward to what we have on tap then. Great stuff as always.
Hey, let's do it, Boats. Thanks a million, and thanks, Curtis, too. Always fun with you guys. We'll do it again in like a week.
Yes, let's say that. 6 days. 6 days instead of 7 or 8. Nick Ismonte joining us here, and we want to thank our producer, Curtis Koch, as well as Brett Jackson for engineering, and to you for listening. Again, we'll be back on schedule next Monday night between 7 and 8. A reminder to join us for the pregame tomorrow night. It's an early start at the United Center because it's the front end of a national TV doubleheader by NBCSN. So here on 720 WGN, I'll have the pregame for you at 5:30 with Troy before Troy joins John for the puck drop at 6 o'clock. Thanks again to our guest tonight, IceHogs head coach Derek King, as well as the Hockey Hall of Famer and former Blackhawk, Michel Goulet. Coming up straight ahead after the 8 o'clock news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, it's David Jennings, and then John Landecker joins you for the rest of the evening, so stick around for that. Once again, for Nick Ismonte and everyone here, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next Monday night.